Well, I'd like to welcome everyone so warmly to this teleseminar, and you'll be hearing a lot in the next hour from me, from Karen Donaldson, and from a guest, a special guest, somebody who's worked with Karen in our weight loss program. And I can tell you that very few things inspire and get us more excited than this whole idea of bringing people weight loss, but not just short-term weight loss, but long-term weight loss. One of the things I do is I subscribe to some news feeds for scientific studies. So every day in my inbox, I get 50 to 100 studies. I look through them. I pick out the ones that seem interesting. I may read a summary. I might read the whole thing. But it really helps me keep my finger on the pulse of what's going on in science. And so there are all kinds of topics covered. But there is a lot of research now on weight. And one of the findings is that when people lose even modest amounts of weight, it has a beneficial effect on their health. In one study, the researchers found that people who were clinically obese, if they lost only 10 pounds, that's not a lot of weight loss, but only 10 pounds, that their biomarkers improved. All of the markers of their biology got better. So things like resting heart rate and pulse rate and blood oxygen and a whole variety of physiological markers improved. And it didn't take losing 50 pounds to do it. It only took losing 10 pounds to start to nudge people in the right direction. So that's the good news, that even modest weight loss is associated with improvements in your physiology. The bad news is that just keeps on piling up is that weight gain is associated with pervasive changes. And some of the worst news so far is that weight gain in early in life changes people's bodies and makes it actually hard for them to lose weight later in life, and that it gets harder and harder as you go along. The more years of being overweight you have, the harder it becomes to lose weight, the more your body resets itself at that higher set point of weight. So it becomes much, much more difficult. And I know for me it became harder in my 30s than it was in my 20s, became harder in my 40s than it was in my 30s, became harder in my 50s than it was in my 40s and so on. I had that experience. And so the research really does suggest that we start and succeed early. Also, of course, there's no need to bang on the drum of long-term weight loss, but research shows that most people after starting a diet do lose weight, and then after they end, they fairly quickly, over about a year, maybe 2 years, regain all the weight they've lost and more. And that's why diets are thought to be so ineffective. They don't result in long-term weight loss. So just looking at all the science, the arguments are really clear for getting on a weight loss program earlier rather than later, committing to it, sticking with it, and then making sure that whatever you do, you don't do the kind of yo-yo dieting that I did when I was going through all these different programs in my 40s especially. I went to doing Weight Watchers and Jenny Craig and the Nutrition System Diet. I did all kinds of different diets, and they were all successful. I lost you know, tenths of my body weight or whatever it was that was required, but then as I tracked my weight over time, it always crept back up. So I'm now in a few months, actually in May, celebrating, it'll be 8 years of losing 50 pounds, and it's been a really, really powerful shift in me, my body, my outlook, my energy levels in all kinds of good ways. So the science is really clear that starting this, committing to it, and sticking with it is really important, and that long-term weight loss is vital. Research also shows that of the people who, for example, join a gym, who have a New Year's resolution to do an exercise program, that by April, virtually all of them will have quit. And the reason for that is that changing our behavior is hard. We know that we try and behave better, we try and exercise and eat right, and it's hard to make those changes stick. And that's because of what psychologists call conditioning. We're conditioned to be a certain way. Our conditioning kicks in, and it's really, really, really hard to change those long-standing behaviors. So we have these fantastic New Year's resolutions, And then usually within a few weeks or months, they've fallen apart. We're back to being the same people we were before. So we, Karen and I, have been incredibly interested in finding an answer to this dilemma. And we have, and we know we have, because we've done now several studies, not just the two of us, but we've had other people involved in these studies. The most prominent contributor is a psychologist who runs the master's program at Bond University. Her name is Dr. Peter Stapleton, and Dr. Stapleton has collaborated with me on several clinical trials. We did a clinical trial, a randomized controlled trial of depression and obesity, and we found that when people's depression lifted, their obesity lifted as well. Peter's done several clinical trials of young people with eating disorders and how emotional freedom techniques or tapping can help them overcome those. Also, she has found in her research that people who learn EFT and do a weight loss program, they don't gain the weight back. They actually keep on losing weight over time. She's now done two studies that show that, and there are two other studies, one of which was of Karen's program, Naturally Thin You, which showed the same thing. People kept on losing weight after the program ended. So we know now from several clinical trials that this approach not only helps people lose weight, but that they keep it off over time and they keep on losing weight later on. So we are so happy you're on the call. We're happy you're making this commitment, and we want to make sure that this isn't just a flash in the pan New Year's resolution that's gone by April, that it's something you stick with. I know probably you see an upsurge too, Karen, in clients' interest in January because it's start of a new year. People are thinking about changing their minds. And so you've probably been witness to that New Year's resolution phenomenon.
Yes, most definitely I have. And it happens a lot every January. But to be honest, I'm noticing what I would call a really beautiful shift. In that I think that people are telling me that they're tired of just another diet or just another program because they really don't want to fail again. So I've actually been seeing more clients now that are just looking for something better, something different, something a bit more holistic, something that addresses what's going on with them on a deeper level. And to me, that is actually really good news. I am so happy when somebody says, gosh, you know what? I've tried a zillion diets. I've done this. I've been here and so forth. But what I'd really like to do is figure out what is at the core of what's going on. And honestly, some of my clients are just tired of making resolutions in the traditional sense, which I find refreshing. They want to make some resolutions in the sense of taking care of themselves and loving themselves and doing some healing on the deeper issues. And I got to tell you, that is like music to my ears because I'm a dietitian, I'm a personal trainer, and so I know how to give them all the best information on diets and exercise, but I don't want to set them up or have them set themselves up for failure, which happens way, way, way too often. So I got to be honest, I'm pleased that there's a shift going on, and I'm really excited that you and I are a part of it.
I'm glad people are starting to shift in their approach to this, and we know that that kind of shift is critical. It really does start with the emotional aspects of it. Mm-hmm. I know that when I was starting on that 50-pound weight loss journey in 2009, the first thing I worked on was my body image, and I used to get up in the morning, look at myself in the mirror, and say, oh, no, and a lot of worse things as well. So I've been doing that for a long time, and then I began to tap. And in my book, EFT for Weight Loss, I have a one-page instruction sheet in the very back called Tapping Plan for Weight Loss. And one of the first things I began to do was tap and look myself in the mirror and say, I love and accept myself just the way I am. So I really went for the psychological change and the emotional change first. And I got into that place of love and acceptance. Before I wanted to change myself, I just learned to accept myself. And that self-acceptance is so important because, you know, then no longer feeding into that psychological struggle between the way I am and the way I want to be, and that frees up all of that energy for change. So I'm so glad that more and more people are shifting their approach, and rather than the quick fix they're looking for a long-term solution like that. Now, I know that we're going to have Lisa on the line in a moment, and I'd love to have you talk about thoughts and beliefs, how they keep us stuck, and then let's check in with Lisa early in the call.
Absolutely. But I have to check a little bit because I'm not really trying to top your story, Dawson, of your struggles. But I do have to confess that as a dietitian and a personal trainer, it was so fortunate that I found out a better way to look at the emotions, because it was really, really embarrassing to be able to tell people what to do all day. Oh, yes, eat this, do that, exercise this way, and then go home and have myself not be able to do that. It's like, okay, this isn't working out very well. So I actually had to go deeper to the emotional reasons as well first, and then I could release the weight and then keep it off. So over the last 6 years or so, I lost about 30 pounds, and it has stayed off, which is wonderful, and it's actually easy. It's not a challenge anymore. I mean, certainly there are days that are a little more stressful than other days, but overall, I think if I hadn't gone to that part of the emotional aspect of it all, I probably would still be stuck, like eating popcorn every night, trying to figure out how come me and my clients, you know, couldn't stop doing that. So that I can't even stress how important that is. And that really kind of lends itself to our discussion of how our thoughts and our beliefs can keep us stuck. And we don't sometimes even realize how stuck we are. Maybe we have a core belief that it's just going to be too hard, or we can't do it for some reason. And we might have a core belief actually that it's not safe to lose weight. I know that I see this in many, many of my clients. And I actually just got the honor of interviewing Dr. Vincent Felitti, who was one of the co-founders of the Adverse Childhood Experiences Study. And we talked in great detail about his findings that there's a strong link to early childhood sexual trauma and obesity. And he comes right out in his papers, his research papers, and states that it is physically, emotionally, and mentally threatening for some people to lose weight because of their belief that they aren't going to be safe. Yeah. Now, if you would say this to, you know, someone 10 or 20 years ago, like, oh no, it's fine, of course I want to lose weight, it's fine. But when you really start to think about it, there's such energy and strong belief systems, and being safe is highly important. That's like a primal need for us to feel safe in our environments. And if we don't feel safe, if it's threatening, then we certainly are going to sabotage ourselves when it comes to weight loss. And I've seen that with many, many clients. And it doesn't have to be as something as dramatic as childhood sexual trauma. It could be other things that happen to us in our lives, other things that are affecting our belief systems and our thoughts that keep us stuck. And so it's really easy to say, yeah, I want to lose weight. But if we take that another step and say, well, I always like to have people say, yeah, but what are the yeah buts going to be? Well, I want to lose weight, but I don't think I can, or but it's going to be hard, or but I've never been able to do it before, or but it's not very safe for me, or a number of other reasons. So what I really love about working on the emotions is that we can get to the core beliefs that are holding us back, and do some tapping on those and basically release them so that they're not sabotaging us anymore. And that, I think, is where the real magic happens.
One of the real shockers to me was when we did this most recent study of Naturally Thin You, we changed the questionnaires that we use. So we have had this group of questionnaires we've been using in research in EFT for about 15 years. We've used in many other studies. But when you began to point to this link between especially childhood sexual abuse and obesity, we then decided in this most recent study to include a measure for PTSD, because all of the previous measures we looked at, depression and anxiety, and there's a lot of research showing that there's an association between depression and obesity. No one knows which is the cause, which is the effect. Are you depressed because you're obese, or are you obese because you're depressed? We don't really know that. We just know that the two go hand in hand, and that when we see people losing weight after they learn EFT and start to shed the weight, the depression symptoms improved, but we had never actually included a measure, a validated, scientific, reliable measure for PTSD, and we did in this last study of Naturally Thin You. And the shocker for me was that people scored clinical on this measure. On this particular measure, a score of 4 means the likelihood of the clinical diagnosis of PTSD. And so I was thinking, well, you know, we'll put the measure in there, but we'll ask the questions, but I'm not sure we'll find anything. And I was actually surprised to find out that the number was over 4, that they had a little over 4 in their initial scores. Not only that, when we finished the study and we did their post scores, we found their scores were still, they dropped a little bit, but they were still close to 4. And so that's why this time round we're going to really focus on those traumatic cues that keep people stuck. It's not that the weight is actually really not the real problem. The weight is rarely
right.
The problem. It's usually something else that lurks below it, the emotions and the experiences and all the reasons why, you mentioned secondary gain, the reasons why people mm-hmm. keep the weight, and they often have to do with feeling safe. And the reason your body won't let you drop that weight is it doesn't want you to feel unsafe. So there's no way it's going to let you release that weight if that weight is associated with safety.
Yes, I totally agree. I couldn't have said it better myself. And the reasons, I just want to stress, the reasons can be very very dramatic. We can have definite things that we can pinpoint in childhood that happened that may be affecting our weight and our health as adults. But sometimes they're also very subtle. They may have something to do with relationships, maybe with your mother or with your father, or self-esteem or confidence issues, or just maybe feeling a little bit lost. And so it doesn't always have to be something big. Very often it is, but sometimes it's something that is more subtle, or sometimes it's many little things that have just come together to affect your thoughts and your belief system and sabotage you. And so if it's all right, Dawson, I know that Lisa has a story that is good to share, because she had some other things going on, and she was able to resolve a lot of those with some tapping. And so should we talk to her right now?
I would love to.
All right. Okay. All right. Hi, Lisa. This is Karen. Can you hear me okay?
Hi, Karen. Yes, I can hear you. Hi, Dawson.
Hey, Lisa. Thanks so much for being on the call.
Hey. Yeah, thanks for allowing me to.
Lisa is wonderful, and I'm always honored. First of all, thank you for agreeing to speak, but I'm always honored to be a part of someone's healing journey. It's like I have this beautiful window into what's going on, and I get to be a part of it, and I hold that very near and dear to my heart. And Lisa, you and I were talking earlier today about what your journey had been like. So if you would be so kind, maybe just start with when we first met and tell us what was going on with your health and how. Be sure to tell the story about driving your bus. Will you do that?
Sure.
I
okay,
love it. Okay,
well,
so you get the floor.
Okay. Well, thank you, Karen. So I started working with you a year and a half ago. And at that time, I had was on some steroid drugs, prednisone, for a condition, an autoimmune condition, lupus. And because I had been on that for so long, I had really put on a lot of weight. And I weighed 265 and was just starting to panic about how close I was getting to 300 pounds. Not only that, but I just had a confidence crisis, I guess. And I was really mm-hmm. tired of feeling such a low self-esteem. And I was always going to wait to have good self-esteem until I lost all that weight. And then I was going to feel great about myself.
Okay, yeah.
So it really surprised me when you said, no, Lisa, we're going to go in through the back door and we're going to you're going to love yourself first. I didn't think that was going to work. And it was a really big surprise. When I've started doing tapping and mirror work and telling myself that I loved myself, that my thoughts and behaviors got on board, and I started realizing, hey, why I'm eating this salad and all these vegetables while all my friends are having pizza is because I love myself. I don't know. It created such a drastic change in the way I felt. And then the weight loss just sort of followed naturally.
You're going to make me cry because you didn't share that part with me earlier this afternoon. And so I'm really touched because and I'm so happy that you remembered that as well, because it's kind of like what Dawson said before. We don't want to wait until we get to a certain number. And sometimes I tease my clients and say, okay, so when you get to, 205, can you love yourself? Well, I don't know. Well, how about when you get to 180,
but not 206.
Right? Yeah, exactly. So, and sometimes I'll tease them gently and say, okay, I want you to show me the book where it says, no, I'm not allowed to love myself until I weigh, 159. And so we can use humor in there that says, oh my gosh, that's so silly. Why can't I just love myself now? It doesn't mean we're abandoning taking care of ourselves. We just love ourselves while we're in the process of doing that. So, I'm so glad that you felt that way. Thank you for sharing that. And you said something else.
You.
Go ahead, please.
Well, thank you. I would like to take this chance just to say thank you for helping me learn to treat myself with love and with kindness and gentleness, because I didn't think that would work. I thought you had to be hard on yourself. I had to have some discipline in order to lose the weight, and I had to kind of be that mental drill sergeant or that tough coach,
yes.
And get myself to the gym and get myself to diet. And actually turns out that just treating myself gently, being forgiving of myself, thinking that I was worthwhile and valuable already just the way I was, that became the impetus for change.
Wow.
Yeah, that it was amazing.
It's good. Huh? It's really, really good. I went to, a couple of years ago, I was at a sporting event and I was eating something healthy and the other people around me were not. And they're like, why do you eat that? And I said, well, do you want the corny answer? And they said, sure. I'm like, because I love myself and I'm worth it. They're like, oh, okay. I'm not feeling deprived. I really do like this. So I love that. And then I also have to say, you've done just a fantastic job with weight loss. You've lost 50 pounds so far and you continue to lose weight. And you shared with me that it's not even like hard anymore. It's not hard. Well, it never really was hard, but it's still not hard.
It's not. It's pretty simple. I really don't even get on the scale weekly anymore because I don't really care. I can kind of tell some changes are still happening in my body. My clothes are looser and, that's fine, but it's not the main emphasis. Really, I just continue, just trying to be aware of myself and intentional about the choices I make. With the why, the real reason in mind, and back to that reason is I'm worthwhile and I care about myself.
Wow.
So,
very nice. And
yeah,
and you're driving your own bus. You
tell
us what
forgot.
That means.
Oh,
so
I forgot
cute.
To talk about that
earlier today.
Well, I guess I was just thinking that about that kind of pivotal point where I realized that I could take charge of my life and the way I was going through my life and the way I felt about it, the way I felt about myself. And I wanted to see a better future. I wanted to imagine a happier life and a more confident me. And that's, I guess, what I meant when I said, well, I'm going to take the wheel and drive my own bus.
Mm-hmm. Well, and if you don't mind me sharing, I'll only share a little bit. For me, what it felt like when you said to drive your own bus was that in the past, maybe other people, though, had driven the bus for you and sort of directed you, and you were learning how to speak your truth and to, like, love and respect yourself enough to say, well, it's okay. I think I'll just drive my own bus. Like, thanks for trying to help me, but I'm running the show now. And I thought that was a really good step for you.
Yeah, that was a really important step. And thanks for bringing out that aspect of it. Because I guess I kind of came to a realization that if I was going to do this and it was going to be effective for me, I kind of would know what to do, the hows, mm-hmm. and I would do them in my way, a way that would be fun. Right. I would exercise in a way I enjoyed. I would mm-hmm. eat in a way that satisfied me, so I wouldn't feel deprived and angry and disappointed, and,
right.
you know, and fail. So, yeah, I definitely did have to take the wheel for myself and take my own advice. And that requires
right.
really being in tune with yourself.
It does. It does. It takes some practice and some trust. And you have come so, so far in that. And I know the weight loss was important, but I feel like what happened on the inside was equally important, if not even more important. And so I'm so proud of you for everything you've done.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And I agree. And I am so, so happy about what's happened on the inside. Because I continue to have this condition, the lupus, and it flares sometimes. And right now I've just started up a little flare, and there's some arthritis and some pain. And I am able to think, well, I can give my body what it needs. I'm going to mm-hmm. continue giving it the best nutrition I can to heal. I'm going to continue giving it exercise because I need that emotionally as well as physically. And you can help me with that, and we're going to work it out. So I don't feel like it's, you know, it doesn't have to be a big crisis, this health thing. I just try to stay in tune with myself and aware. That awareness goes a long way.
It does. Lisa, thank you. Thank you. Thank
yeah.
you. Sorry, I know Dawson, Lisa has to leave in a few minutes for another appointment. Is there anything you'd like to say or ask her before she signs off?
I'm just wondering, Lisa, if there was any kind of emotional pivot point for you in the process.
There have been many,
mm-hmm.
but I think just right at the beginning, I really got a good push downhill and then just kind of kept gaining momentum. So I think without that, the EFT, being able to using that to peel back some layers, looking at some emotional attachments to food, looking at some hurt, some past hurts, and learning how to heal from those things. That really gives me the faith that, you know, I can keep going. I can handle the weight issue, and then I can handle the illness issues. I can just keep handling. I don't know. It's been quite amazing.
Yeah, having a sense of confidence that you can handle things really changes your perspective, and suddenly you aren't the victim of them all. You have that sense that you do have the power to affect them. You don't necessarily have a magic wand, and you can't just make things go away, but you can take small steps. You can take consistent steps. You have a sense of being a powerful agent in your own life, and all of that is a very healthy psychological perspective from which to approach change.
Thank you, and it feels great. I couldn't be happier with that.
I am so glad to hear it. Well, I hope your happiness keeps on going up and up and up.
Thank you.
Lisa,
well, I appreciate
thank you.
Your help, Karen, with it so much.
Always here. I'm gonna go ahead and sign you off for now and wish you the best at your next appointment, and we'll see you soon. Thanks again.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All the best. Thank you again.
Oh, gosh. Dawson, I think if you, I don't want to speak for Lisa, but I think if I could safely say that as far as an emotional pivotal point, I think she's a person who had many smaller issues that kind of all came together. There were some family issues, some parent issues, a few childhood issues. And so we just tapped through each of those, and then they all, releasing each of those all came together and just allowed her to really be in a really good place for loving and accepting herself.
And my guess is that what we find with people in the course is that other things in their lives start to improve as well, like relationships with your kids may improve, relationships with spouses, parents may improve. So as you have less stress, the effects are present throughout your emotional life.
Yes, and I just smiled when you said that about relationships with spouses and partners, because I work with men and women both, but a lot with women. And as their confidence and their self-esteem and their worthiness is increasing, the question they ask me so often is, have you been meeting with my husband as well? I'm like, what? They said, well, secretly, no, I'm not. But they wonder if we've had some sessions, because I said, well, why are you asking me that? Because I would like them to talk about it a bit. And they say, well, it's just different. We seem to be different. We're better. We're communicating better. It's like he's respecting me more. And it's so beautiful, because what that really means is that my client, the person, is respecting themselves more, and that is radiating from them, and then they are attracting that back into their lives. So I guess indirectly we're working with people's spouses and partners just by building a healthier person themselves. They're giving off better energy. And so relationships with spouses, partners, children, that's a big thing that I often see shifts with. And then what I really see some shifts with is career and money issues. And that to me, well, it's all fascinating, but to all of the issues that are affecting our weight, like you said earlier in the call, Dawson, weight is really not the issue. That's just the symptom that shows up. So everything that's going on is going to affect our jobs and our careers and even our relationship with money. And so a lot of clients that I've worked with have done some tapping sort of related to money or careers, but not directly. And then they'll report to me too, oh gosh, I got along better with so-and-so at work, or prosperity and money is coming to me more easily. Is this part of it? And I'm like, well, yes, it definitely can be. So it's really nice to see this just transcend into all the different areas of a person's life. Very, very rewarding. And I think a big part of that has to do with what Lisa said about just being able to handle things. But if we're to talk in detail about that, I think that the effect that EFT tapping has on our stress levels cannot be understated. And I know you are a big fan of talking about how important it is to address what's going on with the fight or flight response in our bodies.
Oh, definitely, because it is the fundamental response our bodies have, because our ability as we evolve to get out of danger determined everything else that happened. So if we could get out of danger, we lived, and then everything else took shape around that. If we didn't live, then if we died, then we'd fail the basic test of the species. And so this is a fundamental part of our biology that affects everything else. And when the fight or flight response is engaged, it affects our biology tremendously. And what I find when I study people's cortisol levels is that often those stress hormones like cortisol are high. They're inappropriately high. We need a little bit of cortisol to stay alert. We don't need that much. And when I look at people's levels of cortisol, they're often stuck on high. So they're generating far higher levels of cortisol than they need to just for daily life. And, of course, that then contributes to that's both a symptom and an effect of stress. And so when they are able to learn to tap and release the stress, their cortisol levels then fall dramatically. And one unpublished piece of research that we're just working on now, probably been at the 6 months or more before it's published, but we looked at people's levels of cortisol before and after an EFT workshop. And it was a 5-day workshop. They did level one and level two. And between day one and day five, their baseline resting cortisol level dropped by an amazing 49%. So almost a 50% drop in cortisol with EFT. So it really does affect their fight or flight response and then their stress level and their cortisol, all of which are intertwined. And it's powerful to see how these are linked, and when you work on one, you work on them all. So I know that people talk about cortisol more because it's associated with high cortisol, is associated with large amounts of fat, but all of these things work together. Our bodies work together homeostatically, and when we reduce our stress, our cortisol then goes down. We have less of a fight-or-flight response, and if we do that over time, we then reset our whole stress biochemistry inside our bodies to a much more normal and healthy level. So that's really what's going on here. That's really why money improves and people are less reactive to their kids and their spouses, because all of these things are ratcheting down simultaneously as stress goes down with EFT.
Absolutely. I try to really make sure that my clients understand this, that the effect of the fight or flight response is very significant in all areas, but especially when it comes to weight. And if you look at this, like you said, on a physiological level, when we are under a fight or flight response and making a lot of cortisol, actually we become more insulin resistant, which means that we have a greater likelihood of the blood sugars not getting into our muscle cells where they belong, and they actually end up getting stored as fat. And then we're kind of in a breakdown mode instead of a rebuild and a repair mode. So we might experience problems with our hair and with our skin, and just our general, our energy levels may be lower, your heart rate may be faster, your blood pressure may be higher. So you're kind of on this amped up danger mode instead of, let's restore ourselves and let's move towards optimal health. You're kind of in the downhill slide. So, of course, weight is very important, but all of the other health things that go along with it are important to address as well. And I know since I've learned and been practicing EFT regularly, occasionally there will be something that will really alarm me or put me into that fight or flight mode. And I can actually feel inside of my body, like the adrenaline is just racing through my veins and my heart rate is going up and my muscles are tightening. And I think to myself, oh my gosh, all of this is going on and I'm probably storing belly fat as well. Although honestly, that's my last concern at that moment. I want all of those other things to stop. So I will just start tapping just to calm down whatever is going on in my mind, knowing that when I'm doing tapping, I'm sending calming signals to a part of the brain called the amygdala, and then that sends calming signals to the rest of my body. And within just a few, my gosh, 2, 3, or 4 minutes, all of those things come back to normal. My heart rate decreases, my breathing is better, the tightness in my neck and shoulders is gone, that anxious, nauseous feeling in my gut is gone. So that is important, obviously, for obvious reasons. But the other reason that it's important is because then I'm more calm and I don't find myself in front of the pantry, you know, looking for some Fritos or wanting to make some popcorn at 10 o'clock in the morning or, you know, having candy bars at 2 o'clock in the afternoon because I'm all stressed out about something. So it's important on so many levels to address this fight or flight response. And I personally think that's one of the very best things that EFT tapping does for us.
Another great effect of doing this is that I find that I'm no longer stressed about weight gain. Like last October, I went to Europe and did a month, did a bunch of workshops, and I was in the Midwest, and I was in Europe, and I was eating all kinds of wonderful gourmet food, and then I was in the Midwest and eating all kinds of hotel food, and so I gained 3 pounds. Now, normally, if that happened, I'd be all panicked about it. I'd be like, it'd be so emotional to step on the scale and discover you've gained 5 pounds. It'd be a real like big emotional event, and you'd think, oh no, and big setback, and so the number on the scale is a highly emotive number. Now, then after tapping and doing this for these 8 years, it's just a number. And if the number went up by a few pounds, I know that I'll do a few sensible things over the course of the next week or two, and the number will be down a few pounds. And so that whole thing, there's no like big emotional content, big emotional reaction to the number on the scale. It's just a number, and it's just information which you use to support your own health and well-being. And I think, you know, in days gone by, when I'd gain a pound, a few pounds, and I'd step on the scale, I'd be filled with such disgust and self-loathing and anger and upset and negative self-talk all those years back. And it's now just emotionally neutral. And it's very nice to just have the whole issue of weight not be a big emotionally charged part of your life.
You're right, Dawson. There's so much emotion around weight. And so it's kind of like with Lisa, and it sounds like with you as well, the times that we then beat ourselves up and say mean things to ourselves and berate ourselves, that actually backfires. That doesn't motivate us to do better. And then your body really is listening to all of those messages, and your cells are responding to that, and not necessarily in a positive way. So it's not helpful at all. I always joke around and say, gosh, if that worked, then everybody would probably be walking around at a size zero, because there are so many people that are, you know, using such negative, right? We would all be like a size negative two. Oh, you piece of crap. You're disgusting, blah, blah, blah. Oh, good. I just lost 10 pounds. It doesn't work like that. So we really want to be cautious with our words. And then when we start to shift things around, then that's when we can have lasting permanent results. And I didn't mention with Lisa, though, she lost this weight and kept it off. It's been over a year now, which is very significant. And I think a big part of it is because she is very kind to herself. She, she treats her body well, and she listens, and she honors that. And I think that's one of the most important things we can do.
That really came across in what you told us today. Yeah.
So, Dawson, we've been talking a lot about the EFT and tapping, and I'm guessing many people on this call are familiar with it, but maybe not everybody. What do you think about just doing a little bit of tapping to give people a chance to experience how peaceful and calm they can feel with that?
I never say no to tapping.
I know. Good idea, right?
Twist my rubber arm.
Exactly. Well, I know that when I first start meeting with people, if they aren't familiar with tapping, and I'm trying to explain, oh, it's this thing where you're just tapping on different points in the body, and they still kind of look at me like, well, all right, sure, whatever you say. Is anybody watching you? Because they're just not familiar with it. But just after a few rounds of doing some of the tapping, 95% of the people look at me and say, oh my gosh, I feel so calm and relaxed. What did you just do to me? And I just explained to them that it has a very calming effect. When we tap, we're actually going to use our fingertips and tap on some different pressure points in the body. It's very easy to do, and you really can't do it wrong. So if anybody is thinking, oh my gosh, I don't know how to do this, or I'm worried about it, don't stress about that as well. There isn't any way that you can do it wrong. And when you do the tapping on these pressure points, what's happening is that your brain is receiving calming signals. So there is a part of your brain called the amygdala, which is your emotion center. And while you're tapping, it is receiving signals to just be calm. Everything is fine. We don't need to be in fight or flight mode. And the amygdala then sends a signal to a part of your brain called the hypothalamus, which is kind of like the command center of the brain. And then the hypothalamus conveys that message to the rest of the body. So the rest of the body, your chest and your shoulders and your neck and your whole entire body receives this message of, okay, we can be calm and we can be relaxed. And it can be very subtle. You might feel maybe you're on a scale of 0 to 10, you're like at a 7. And by the time we finish, you'll be like at a 4. Or it can be quite dramatic. I've shared the story with you, Dawson, about a gentleman that I worked with at a medical clinic, and I introduced him to tapping. And this gentleman is more than the Energizer Bunny. He has like 2 jobs and a pastor for the youth group and going to graduate school and 3 kids and blah, blah, blah. I mean, he's practically making me tired just talking to him. And wired, just doesn't stop. So I took him through a few rounds of tapping, and he became so relaxed that he said to his wife, I think we have to go home. I don't know what happened here, but I really feel like I need to take a nap. I haven't slept for days. And he's like, what did you just do? And he was happy, but he was kind of like, gosh, what the heck just happened here? But his body had never experienced it. He was running like 1,000 miles an hour all the time. So it had a really dramatic effect on him. So I guess I should say, if anybody's driving while you're listening to this call, maybe don't do the tapping along right now, just in case. So, all right. So everybody, if you would, what we're going to do is with your right hand, it can be with your left hand as well, but I'll just keep it simple and talk about using your right hand. I'd like you to take your 3 middle fingers, your index, your middle finger, and your pinky finger, and just start tapping on the side of your left hand. That is what's considered the karate chop point. And I should have said, maybe tune in to, if you've got little anxieties going on or little aches and pains, or if you do happen to have a craving for something, you can kind of tune into that. Maybe make a mental note or write it down on a piece of paper where you are on like a scale of 0 to 10, for whatever might be going on with you. And we're going to keep it really general tonight. We would do it more specifically if we were working in a class or one-on-one. But for tonight, we're just going to practice a little bit of tapping and see what happens. So just start tapping on the side of your left hand on what is called the karate chop point, where you would chop a board, kind of the fleshy part of the side of the left hand on the pinky side. And take a deep breath in and then start tapping on the top of your head. So coming up from your ears, just in the center of the top of your head. And we're just doing a little bit of tapping. Firmly enough to feel it, but we don't want to bruise ourselves. But you definitely want to feel a little bit of pressure. You can take another deep breath in if you'd like to. And now we're going to move to the next point, which is on the inside corner of the eyebrow, closest to the bridge of the nose. And that is actually on the bony part of the eyebrow. So just tapping here, you might use 2 fingers and just tap on that inside corner of the eyebrow. And then you can breathe and move on to the next point, which is on the outside edge of the eye, on the same eye. So it's close to the temple, but it's not all the way out to the side. It's actually still on the bony part surrounding the eye. Just tapping on the side of the eye. And now let's move and tap to the next point, which is right under the eye. So again, still on the bony part, straight down from the pupil, just gently but a little bit firmly tapping under the eye. And now moving to the next point, under the nose. So tapping on that space between the nose and the upper lip. Just allowing yourself to be in this process. And again, another breath is always a good idea. And we're going to move to the next point, which is called the chin point. It's actually in that little groove between the lower lip and your chin. So tapping on this point. and moving to the next point. This is called the collarbone point. And imagine where a person would tie their tie and the knot for the tie just going out to the side about an inch and down diagonally just a little bit from there. Sometimes it's helpful if you have your middle finger on that collarbone that protrudes a little bit. The nice thing about the tapping is it's a very forgiving process. So if you're in the general vicinity, you're probably doing okay. And the next point is called the underarm point. And that's about 3 or 4 inches down from the armpit, kind of on what would be the bra line for women. And just tapping there. All right. I'm assuming that you're all doing very well. We're going to go through that one or two more times. Just with some breathing, just tapping. Let's go back to the karate chop point. And then to the top of the head. And if you feel more comfortable, you can actually press on these points and breathe rather than the tapping. And now the inside corner of the eye, tapping or pressing. And the side of the eye. And under the eye. And under the nose. And on the chin point. And the collarbone point. And under the arm. And we're going to do one more round. So start back on the karate chop point. I just want to let you know that you can tap with either hand. You can switch hands. You can switch sides. Okay, back to the top of the head. Oh, this is working for me. That was just a great release for me. Inside corner of the eye. And the side of the eye. Under the eye. Under the nose. On the chin, and the collarbone point, under the arm, and back to the side of the hand. And now if you would, just go ahead and place your hands over your heart and take a deep breath in through your nose and out through the mouth. And just take a moment to check in with yourself. Notice how you're feeling. If your number decreased a bit, sometimes you might feel a little bit of tingling on some of the different points. Most often people will feel at least a bit more calm. Maybe very relaxed, peaceful. Maybe you notice that you don't have quite as much tension or a little bit of your anxiety is gone. Or maybe you were practicing this on a craving and you notice that the craving has decreased. At the very, very least, most people will tell me that they feel more relaxed and more calm. And in my book, that is really important. If we have a tool right here at our fingertips that we can do something in 2 minutes to feel more calm in that moment, that's pretty huge. And the benefits of that are great. So at the very least, we calm down the fight or flight response. We get our bodies out of that panicky, go, 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 stress hormone, cortisol mode. And that in and of itself is very valuable. And then, of course, if it transcends into a reduced craving or better words between you and your boss or your partner or your children, better thoughts in general because you're just more peaceful, all of that indirectly affects your weight. It affects your entire life, but it definitely affects your weight. I don't even know if I should say indirectly. It very directly affects your weight because you're much less likely to go eat something that you wish that you hadn't. And also, one point that we didn't mention earlier is that when we do eat, we actually do want to eat in a peaceful environment. So if you're having some food and you're feeling guilty about it or ashamed or stressed, the way that you metabolize that food is actually going to be different than if you're eating very peacefully and calmly and you're actually enjoying the food and you're being mindful. So honestly, I will advise my clients, you know, if you're going to have that cheesecake or have something, the only rule is that you have to enjoy it mindfully. If you're eating it with guilt or shame or fear or tension or anxiety, then you probably are activating a bit of that fight or flight response in your body. And metabolically, it will probably be worse for you as far as weight goes. So keep that in mind as well. You can use tapping for all sorts of things, for cravings, for pre-meal preparation, for deeper traumas, the things that I talked about earlier with things that happened to us in our childhood, with smaller traumas like Lisa used for things that had happened over her lifetime. So extremely, extremely valuable tool.
One of the cool things, too, about using this for weight loss is that you don't have to swear off any kind of food. Like some people love chocolate, some people like pizza, some people like whatever it might be, and one of the ways I've used it actually myself is that there is a store on the drive between me and the freeway that I drive past every day called Yogurt Time. I don't know if you have had those where you are in Idaho.
No.
But here they're very, very, very popular, and you go in, and essentially you they give you a big tub. And you then get to choose your own yogurt, your own toppings, frozen yogurt, and they have ice cream. First of all, you get the tub. You then walk past the row of dispensers. You can choose from some standard ones, like they always have things like vanilla and pecan and other tempting treats. But then they also have specials of the week, and so there are these special yogurts they'll have a mango yogurt or a watermelon yogurt or something like that. And then when you've done running the gauntlet of all the machines, dispensers, they end up all the toppings. And they don't have they don't have like four toppings. They have like cabinets of like maybe 20 or more toppings. Then once should your willpower remain intact after the topping case, you then walk past to get to the cash register. You then have to walk past that to the frozen topping case, and the frozen toppings are things like cheesecake, little squares of cheesecake you can put on top, and other frozen treats. So refrigerated treats. So you do all that to get to the cash register, and then you pay and eat your yogurt. So I drive past this thing every time, every day, like four or five times a week. And I love that store, and I love going there for yogurt. So what I do is I go there once in a while, and I have yogurt. But I drive past it every day, and if I feel tempted, I think, well, you know, I really enjoyed it last time. I'm sure I'll really enjoy it the next time. And I tap, and then I don't usually go in, but I do go in, and then I, you know, it's not that often. It's maybe once every few months, maybe two or three times a year. And when I finally do that, Karen, and go to Yogurt Time and have my frozen yogurt, I so enjoy it. And because I've been tapping and relaxing every time I pause it, there's no kind of tension behind it. I'm not all guilty eating my frozen yogurt. I don't have to haven't had to deny myself. I've just relaxed my tension. When I drive past it, I think about savoring it the next time I'll go. I think about savoring it the last time I went. And there's no, again, there's no emotional charge around all of this. And so it's wonderful that you don't have to swear off the foods you love. You get to enjoy them. But then, you know, when I eat my yogurt, I eat it really mindfully. And
yes,
I really enjoy every single bite. I only put as much in the cup as I know I will be able to eat mindfully. And it's usually not very much. I don't need, you know, 15 scoops to feel, to enjoy it. If I have like 7 or 8 bites, I'll enjoy each one a lot. So one of the great things about this is that you don't have to swear off foods and you don't have to like deprive yourself of things you love. So it's really that relaxation is a really powerful aid to both sticking with your eating plan, but also not depriving yourself.
Absolutely. That I'll share one more story, and then I know we'll be wrapping up here in a few moments. But I have another client that loves Pepsi, and I said, "Well, do you crave it?" And she said, "No, that it's just I like to drink it all the time. It's just my preferred beverage." And so, but the problem is she has diabetes and is on lots of medications and weight issues and so on. And so she had never really put it together that there would be some emotional reason for it. So we did some tapping on that this last week. And as we were tapping, you know, the layers were coming off, and she started crying, which is a great release, and realized that she's very emotionally connected to Pepsi. But by the end of the session, you know, through the tapping, she could see the connection and feel the connection. And then she actually didn't desire Pepsi in that moment, which was great. But she also emailed me a couple of days later and said, "Gosh, I don't know what you did, but how come I don't want Pepsi anymore? Or if I have some, I just want like a couple of sips of it and I'm very satisfied." So that was very nice. So there's a difference between like emotional Pepsi and regular Pepsi. I got to discover that emotional popcorn versus regular popcorn. So I still enjoy popcorn, right? I know. That took some tapping, true confession. So, but now I can have a small bowl of popcorn and feel very satisfied instead of making this huge bowl of popcorn and then still wanting more after that. So there's a big difference between what I call an emotional food and just a regular, using it in the regular way. And that's part of what we do.
Now, if you'd like to join Karen and I for the Naturally Thin You 6-week program, we're starting a new class next week. It runs for 6 weeks and it ends. We also will be closing enrollment because we wrap up enrollment so we can start the first class. And so go to the website tapmethin.com. Just tap, T-A-P, me, thin, T-H-I-N, tapmethin.com. Write that down now. Go to tapmethin.com. That's where you can get information about the program and enroll for the class starting next week. I'll just quickly cover for you what the class involves. Again, it's a 6-week class. You'll have live coaching calls with Karen, and I also recorded a whole group of tapping scripts, and I record tapping scripts on all the most common problems. There's a chocolate tapping script and a wine tapping script. There is a cake tapping script and a pastries tapping script. I don't know how many of them there are, but there are lots of them, and you can just download the ones that are relevant to your cravings onto your smartphone and then play those either each day, or you can play them whenever you're tempted. There are also a whole bunch of bonuses, and I won't go over all of them because they're all listed on the website. There are lots and lots and lots of them. There's just one, for example, is a an eating plan by my friend and mentor, Dr. Norman Shealy, MD, PhD, and it's just a very simple eating plan that he put together that was so brilliant that I felt I had to share it with people. So there are lots of bonuses. So each week of the 6 weeks, again, it's January now, you're going to commit, and our goal is that you're going to lose the weight and lose substantial weight in the next few weeks, but also that your weight loss will continue over the course of the next year. So, again, the Facebook page where Karen answers your questions. There are also the live coaching calls. And then there's a theme for each week. So each week you're going to be doing one of these six themes. The themes are really, really powerful. Each week you'll do one particular theme, and they go from being able to have the basic tools of EFT to release things to the more advanced classes of things like, Karen, what I wanted to call it exercise, Karen said, no, that week's not going to be called exercise, it's called joyful movement. I love that week is joyful movement, not exercise, and I just love that way of framing it. So we'll cover all of this. And then again, this particular class will have a special emphasis, besides the six weekly themes, on releasing psychological trauma, especially PTSD from childhood, and any kind of adverse event in your childhood that might be stopping you from letting go of the weight. So we'll be focusing on that and really, in those calls, identify what those things are and letting them go. What you'll find then is on that page, you'll find some testimonials and a button that says enroll now. There's less than 24 hours till enrollment ends, so we can start the class. The first live class is next week. We'd love to invite you to do this. We also can tell you that in the study we did on Naturally Thin You, we found that in the week after people, in the year after people finished the course, they lost an additional 22 pounds. So the weight did not come back. They kept on losing an average of 2 pounds a month. And then a year after finishing Naturally Thin You, they were 22 pounds less on average. Some lost a lot more weight. Some lost over 70 pounds. Some lost less, or some had less to lose. But that's really good weight loss. And we were pleased to see that people did not regain the weight or stay static. They kept on losing. And again, that's the same result as in several other studies. You'll also get some bonus videos from me, which are kind of fun things. One is called Tapping to Eat Half as Much, and there's a way to do that. I have a bonus video on how to deal with tempting social situations. So you're at that party, or you're with that friend who's eating a big piece of chocolate cake. What do you do in that situation? There's a video on how you can halve the calories. I give an example of me eating a meal at a fast food restaurant with my son, and my meal had half the calories his did. We ordered exactly the same thing. Mine had same portion size, exactly the same order. Mine had half the calories. How did I do that? So we have a lot of bonuses like that. From Karen, we have reports like why stress is making you fat, the art of joyful movement, loving and accepting yourself, and one based on her ebook called Beat the Belly Fat Blues. We also have special reports by people which are really useful in health and weight loss as well. So again, we'd love to have you there. Go to tapmethin.com, enroll now. We'd love to see you in the class. And again, we're ending enrollment very shortly so we can begin the class next week. And so we'd love to have you not just have this be a fleeting, passing New Year's resolution. We want to be talking to you in a year and you being one of the people who's lost 22 pounds or 44 pounds or whatever it is you'd like to lose and keeping it off together. That is really our focus on this class, teaching you the tools and techniques you need, not just to overcome the cravings now, but to overcome them next month and next year and have a consistently sensible approach to eating and weight. So again, the website is tapmethin.com. Any last thought, Karen, before we wrap up the call?
I want to honor everybody for being here, and you're already showing a great step in taking care of yourself just by showing up for the call. I deal with so many people who are, I guess, frustrated and hopeless. Hopeless is really the word. And I think I just want to convey the message of hope. So if you're feeling hopeless, there is hope. And I would be honored to help you, and I hope that I see you in the class.
Bless you. Thanks for being here. Thanks for taking this step toward your well-being. Go to tapmequinn.com to join us, and we'll hope to see you next week. All the best.